It's time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host. Wherever you are in Boodleers Point, I hope it's beautiful for you too. Well, I am going to start out with some music that's actually to get you in the mood for all the celebrations that are going on here this month. And next week is Scandinavian Festival, a midsummer festival. It happens every year. And you'll be hearing from some of our guests from Finland next week. We've got groups coming from Finland, Sweden, and Denmark. Very exciting lineup of music. Let's hear a little music right now from the Septentrio from Sweden. And thanks for being here, folks. Stay tuned for a very full weekend. Listening to music from the from Septentrio, obviously a trio, and they will be here next week for the annual Midsummer Scandinavian Festival. And thanks to Janet for whipping this music over here so we could share it with you, because it's wonderful stuff. You know, we do have Scandinavian music every week right here on Coast Community Radio, and we love it. Coming up right now is someone who I believe is not a Scandinavian. Are you a Scandinavian?
Only I was a Scandinavian by marriage, but that's all.
I didn't think you were. I didn't remember what your heritage
different,
was.
Different subspecies of Northern European.
There you go. Well, Bob Pyle is here, and many of you are familiar with Bob because he has been in our community, although he lives in Grays River on the Washington side. He graces us on this side and that side with writings, poetry, humor, and also with stories that will grip you and teach you and open you and make you want to take walks wherever Bob leads you. That might be, to see Sasquatch, or it might be to take a walk along a water and look way more carefully at things than you might otherwise. I always learn a few new words also when I read Bob's writing. So welcome, Bob.
Thank you, Carol. So nice to be back here. I am so not a radio virgin on your program.
You are so not. And I'm so glad because I love having you come in and I appreciate it. And Mazel Tov, congratulations on your second book of poetry.
Donc, I'm very grateful for that.
And Chantrell. Now, how long have you been writing poetry?
Oh, for a long time. I wrote some exceedingly bad poetry, as all of us did in my adolescence. And then in college, I wrote some very propaganda poetry for conservation about redwoods and things that I cringe to read now. But, you know, it was from the heart, so I don't really cringe. But I've been writing poetry in a more serious way for probably 20 years, and I think it must have been about, 15 years ago perhaps, that I gave my first reading ever that was completely poetry, and that was in the River Theater series that was organized by Florence Sage and Jim Dott.
Right.
And
Monday Mike, yeah.
Yeah, Monday Mike. So I've been reading, I've been writing more and more poetry, had a chapbook, and then was lucky enough to have my first book, The Evolution of the Genus Iris, published couple of years ago, and followed by the new one.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
It's more and more a part of my life.
Yeah, you have written many books.
20 books, yeah. If you count my coloring books, which have more text than some.
Okay.
three of them are poetry, one's small.
That's why I think it surprises some of us to hear about the longevity of your poetry habit, because you've got so much prose, fiction, and nonfiction, mostly nonfiction.
What one would call, it's a funny discipline. It's a major part of the arts, but it's defined as a negative of itself, creative nonfiction. We don't have a word for it in English. The French would call it belles lettres, or essay, essay, really. But it's personal writing. It's considered on the art side of Nabokov's Ridge, where he says, is there not a high ridge where the mountainside of scientific knowledge meets the opposite slope of artistic imagination? Well, the essayist can draw upon that analytical scientific side, but expresses it with the same tools as the poet or the fiction writer. I'm a fiction writer, too. I'm hoping to finish the 10th draft of my novel this summer, so I dance around the genres.
10th draft.
Well, like poetry, you'd have a long apprenticeship to hope that you might begin to do it moderately well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the interesting part, though. Your style of writing makes nonfiction come so alive that for those who shy away from nonfiction, it's definitely... And hearing you read often is the best way for people to trust they're going to appreciate it, because it's not just a reading, it's almost a performance, and you don't even have music behind you usually, although I think this time, tomorrow evening,
happening? Tomorrow evening I'm giving a half reading, half concert. I'm performing with a group called the Cliffs of Cathlamet.
Who's that?
That's Eric and Jillian from Skamakaway, and they are wonderful musicians, just superb. They work a lot with a whole group of musicians over Skamakaway now. They're in a different band with Eric, Andrew Emlin, and they're with another band with Chris Novoselic and Ray Prestigard. They're doing lots of good work, but they're doing a concert as a duo tomorrow, acoustic duo. They're superb musicians and singers, and they asked if I would join them, and I hadn't done a reading yet for the new book over there, so it's going to be
perfect.
Both. Two sets of poetry and two sets of their music.
Nice. So they will not be playing behind you.
Not behind me. No, that's right.
Okay. That's what I wasn't sure. Have you ever done that where you read with music happening? You and Chris Novoselic have done
things. I have a very exciting collaboration right now that's an important part of my life, where I'm working with Chris Novoselic, known here as DJ Kano, of course, right. and with Ray Prestigard. But it's not
music. Who was also a programmer here for
yes,
a short time.
Yes, he was, and he's
wonderful.
A superb musician,
yes,
very versatile.
They're both.
And he's they are not doing music behind me, though. It's very much an active collaboration. Chris composed original songs, acoustic songs on the guitar, one on the accordion, and I have composed original poems semi-independently. We put them together, and they have somehow worked. So we have almost a dozen now we've been recording, and we're working on a unit, and they have occasionally dropped in and performed with me.
Nice. So mostly you're, as far as presenting your reading works, you are a solo act.
Mostly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will also be introducing this book. Really, the main launch for this book will be a week from tomorrow night at Kala.
Uh-huh.
On Friday. Excuse me, a week from tonight, I mean to say.
Friday.
Yes, Friday the
17th.
Correct.
Okay.
At Kala.
Okay.
And I certainly want to invite people to that, and that will be a solo, though who knows if a guest might appear on the stage with me.
Yes, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows, right? Well, I would love it if you could read us and tell us, are all these new poems, or did you dip back into some of your, how does it work for you?
Well, they're not all new poems. I found when I finished The Evolution of the Genus Iris that there were some earlier poems that didn't fit either the theme or I had too many poems for that book, so I saved a few over, including a couple of longer poems that have been performance poems for me for a long time, for 15 years or more. One, a Greyhound poem, and one called Unwanted Creatures. I won't do those here now. They're a little long. But those finally have a home in print. I've had a lot of requests
nice.
For them. But most of the poems in this book are new. Now, the first poem, one I'd like to read for you, is the title poem. The book is dedicated to my dear late wife, Tia, whom you knew well, and lots of people
and
listening will have known and loved. And Tia did a gorgeous print, a woodcut of Chinook salmon and chanterelle that became a broadside with the poem, and then later it is now the cover of the book, and they've reproduced it superbly. Christine Holbert, my publisher, is also the designer, did a beautiful job.
Nice.
So let me start with that poem.
Please.
The book's dedicated to Tia, to the memory of Tia Linnea Pyle, the best chanterelle hunter ever.
I love it.
This poem I wrote for her for our anniversary.
Go ahead.
About 13 years ago, is just after she first became ill. Chinook and chanterelle for Tia. What gifts these are from river and woods, these coral ones, mussled strumpets plucked from the fisher's nets where the shrunken runs still shine, and these golden ones, fluted trumpets pinched from the forest floor where the second growth hemlocks still stand. Surely we're unworthy of such as these. But if enjoyment of succulent flesh is any mitigation, if the tongue's fierce possession of taste can be extenuation, if the way we chew and praise and slurp and swallow and say it, worship this fin and stipe, these silver scales and meaty caps, can sing the hard shimmer in the stream, can cry the soft glimmer on the mossy floor, can save us. If these gestures make any difference whatsoever, well, then maybe we deserve them after all.
Oh, yum, I can feel my mouth salivating
can't you
here,
just?
Really. Well, you know, it's funny, though, because you did exactly what. There were a couple of words in there. Now, my vocabulary may be more limited than many, but there were a couple of words in there that I am not familiar with. It didn't matter. Because I can go right with it. But when I'm reading it, I will look those up.
Good.
And try to use them in a sentence, but probably not able to. But still, I'll have a sense.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's how our vocabulary grows. I've just flew in, I got in very early, a few hours ago from Vermont. I was teaching at the Breadloaf campus of the Middlebury College in Vermont in the Green Mountains, famous for its Summer Writers Conference, and they have a second conference now called the Breadloaf Orion Environmental Writers Conference. Very accomplished, I discovered, poets and novelists and short story writers and especially essayists who write with a special attention to more than the strictly human. And it was very stimulating work, a week. I said work. It was a lot of work. I had a stunningly good workshop of 10 fine writers. But this is one thing that I talked about is when one uses an unfamiliar term, you probably know it's likely to be, because our vocabularies do not overlap entirely, far from it, then you better be sure of three things. First of all, don't use it unless it exactly conveys, connotes, means, implies just what you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use it just because it's unusual. The second thing is your context had better be clear enough that the reader gets
exactly
the general meaning.
Yep.
And then they can go back and look it up. I forget what the third thing was.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet one of them was stipe.
Exactly. You got it. Exactly. Stipe. And I have to go back to the book you wrote with the essays that...
Wintergreen?
No.
Oh, the Sky Time and Gray's River?
Yes, Sky Time and Gray's River. And I could only read one at a time and then digest it.
That's a box of chocolates. You know,
yeah,
that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
They're rich in image.
Rich chocolates, yes.
And that's the great thing about essay. You can pick it up one after another. My novel is a sparer language.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly descriptive and ornamented still, but since you want people to stay with you right along, you write a little spare, a little snappier than you might do in a more discursive essay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what you said about it's natural that everybody doesn't have the same vocabulary, especially knowing that you write a lot about coming from nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole world that has its own vocabulary.
Well, it is. So. And so I could have said stem because it's the stem of the mushroom is the stipe, but the stipe fit. It fit in the syntax of the poem, but it's also accurate. And so anyone, they could tell, oh, that's the mushroom thing. Then they go back and look it up.
Right. And I like it.
Thank you.
The word, too.
Thank you very much.
It feels somehow lighter than stem. And it's fun to come across something we don't know,
isn't it? This is how we learn, Carol.
Yeah.
Nabokov, you mentioned, and I've written about him quite a bit, and English was his third language, but he became probably the greatest stylist in it. And I read his huge masterpiece, Ada, a few years ago, and I actually kept a list. There were more than 500 English words, not the Russian, not the chess special terms, and not the Lepidoptera terms, which I knew, but over 500. And yet, not a time was it a big speed bump for me. And then I could go back and look them up.
Right. Neat. Well, I asked you to read one other poem because although I liked a lot of them, I stopped on several of them. The cat poems, for that matter. I stopped on those. There was a black cat in
here. I knew you'd like the cat poems.
Yes, and
my
black cat did, too.
I bet I could work in this little tiny one. It's about 3 seconds. It's
okay.
Please touch.
Yes, that was
Kitty
the
is
one.
Growing old. His thick black fur, like the pelt of night, goes thin and brown, so when he basks now, he reminds me of the swatch of beaver fur the mountain man show, labeled Please Touch. And that, in the sun, is all he asks.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Yeah, I read that to my cat.
Good.
Yes.
I like reading to cats. You read to dogs and they get a little excited. What do you want from me? You know, yip, yip. You read to a cat and they sort of lie there and say, tell me more.
I like it. Okay, now there was one other that I really would love to hear you read, and that is The Room of Lost Items. Just the title made me think, uh-oh, and then sure enough, but it goes a lot deeper, so please.
Thank you.
Robert Michael Pyle, a.k.a. Bob Pyle, our good friend, is here in the studio with me because tomorrow night, he will be part of Music and Poetry with the Cliffs of Cathlamet and his brand new second book of poetry, Chinook and Chanterelle, at Redmond Hall in Skamakaway, published by Lost Horse Press. And then next week on Friday, the 17th, he'll be reading at Gala here in Astoria. Please, Bob.
Thank you, Carol. And that'll be our launch party, so we hope everybody will come out for
that. Absolutely.
And I thank Dinah in advance for having me for that. And I thank Florence Sage so much for helping me develop this book. The Room of Lost Items. I think some folks will be able to relate. What if you opened a door and there was a room with everything you'd ever lost? The paper flowers you made for your mother that blew away in the snow? All the jackets you left on buses? That scab? The hats alone would fill a long shelf. The heather purple deerstalker, the 3X beaver Stetson Smoky, the Haas Cartwright 10-gallon that badly needed losing. Remember that beautiful scarf left in the lecture hall? The binoculars that were part of your body for 40 years? The wallets, the gloves, all those things you promised not to lose. And then you walk through this door and they're all here. Oh, the joy! That special sock, that kitten, those keys. But wait, there are people in here too, and versions of your heart in several shapes and states. And the deal is, you have to take them all.
It's a bit of a surprise ending. Very powerful. Thank you so much, Bob Pyle. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for your new gift to us all, Chinook and Chanterelle, with a wonderful cover art by Tia, Linnea Pyle.
Thank you, darling Carol. And everyone, please patronize your independent bookstores, Lucy's and Godfather's, and take that and other poetry home with you. Thank you, Carol.
Okay, and this is KMUN. I have some music for the graduates, sort of, and this goes out to all of you who are graduating at whatever stage in your life, whether it's from school or something else, and especially to Abby and to Sam. Thanks for being here, folks.
Most of her life, she was just such a mess. Went for 5 years, never once wore a dress. Heading for third with her baseball cap on. Now my sister's going to the prom. My sister's going to the prom. She's got a long blue dress on. Isn't it strange how a person can change? My sister's going to the prom. She's done up her hair, she's put rouge on her cheeks. She's painted her nails, she's been worried for weeks. She's been dancing with Dad and crying with Mom. My sister's going to the prom. They'll go out for supper, Chinese I think. With those little umbrellas they put in your drink. Her best friend Maisha is going along. Together they're going to the prom. My sister's going to the prom. She's got a long blue dress on. Isn't it strange how a person can change? My sister's going to the prom. She says that he's nice, she knows him from band. She swears they're just friends, but she's holding his hand. I know, 'cause I spied on them hid in the jar. My sister's going to the prom. And I'm just so excited, I can't get to sleep as I wait for their car to come down the street. I heard the door open just before dawn. My sister's home from the prom. Isn't it strange how a person can change? My sister's going to the prom. I wonder how this ever happened to be. She was always so sensible, always so free. Oh, you don't suppose these things might happen to me? My sister's going out dancing tonight. My sister's going, I guess it's all right. They'll kiss in the moonlight and dance on and on. My sister's going to the prom.
and that was John McCutcheon with a sort of song to the Going to the Prom. That's for our graduates. And we are wishing them all the best of luck. And as I say, you can be graduating from one part of your life to another without even going to school. So you just never know what's happening in life. And sometimes that happens right here in the studio. However, right now I have four guests, not quite as many as last week. One of them is a repeat, though. Jean Mann is here, and she was here for the tenor guitar gathering. I just noticed that our mics aren't quite set up. You want to pull that mic over, and you guys might be sharing a mic, so you'll just lean in. And then, Mary, go ahead. It's okay. We like squeaks. No, I'm just kidding. But we have to be careful because Mary is, I understand. Have you ever been on the radio, Mary?
Never.
Uh-huh. So Mary is a radio virgin, so we're going to be very gentle with her. But Mary, your worries are over because it's all done. You see, now
yay,
you're here.
Now I'm not.
And I am meeting for the first time Tom Mooney. Tom, you've been on the radio.
Yeah.
I figured.
I've been on AM radio for good.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, that doesn't count.
That goes way back.
That means you're a radio virgin, yeah, too, if you've only been on AM.
No, and that was 40 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, kind of like Goodbye Columbus, where you regenerate, you know, mm-hmm, it's like that. And when we talk, you two are going to need to be leaning in a little bit, and you're good. And Jean Mann is here. Hi, Jean.
Hi there.
And Jean is no virgin to KMUN. Ah, got that. Jean was here for a tenor guitar gathering just
sat right here.
Yeah, it's
your
true.
Beautiful face.
She sat in the same seat, it's true. But we had 10 of us in the studio at that point, and that was, yeah, I know, we really couldn't breathe, but we had a blast. So, and tonight we're going to have a blast right here in Astoria with these folks. Mary and Scott Dougherty are here and brought together this this evening's happening, this event, a River Folk benefit concert for the River Folk Homeless Coalition at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria, that's 16th and Franklin, at 7 o'clock this evening. Now, many people are wondering, what are we talking about? First of all, a lot of folks know Scott Dougherty, because he ran for how long was Red Hair up?
Nearly 3 years.
Okay. Nearly 3 years. We had music practically two nights a weekend.
Every week.
Fabulous week, every week. And it was also a gallery. But the main thing, with some good stuff, a piece of which hangs on my wall now, actually, from Kitty Paino. but the most exciting was that there was music coming from all over, including a lot from Los Angeles and everywhere. And Scott himself is quite a musician, although he had to be coaxed. But once he gets up there on stage, there's no stopping him. And I understand, Tom, you're going to help him be on stage tonight. Is that right?
Yes. I'll be drumming and percussing.
Percussing.
That's right.
I like that. That's what I do. I percuss too, but I'm on a washboard, so it's not quite the same. Scott, why don't you introduce Tom Mooney, because he is new to me.
Tom is he can probably tell you for himself, but he won't tell you all the good stuff.
I know. That's why I'm asking you.
Tom's an old friend of mine. We played a lot together down south, and before that, Tom was a very highly regarded world-class drummer. He played with, he was one of the founding members of the Naz, which was Todd Rundgren's band. Later he spent, 10 years, 12 years with Rita?
I did 14 years 14 with years. Rita Coolidge.
Wow.
12 of them I was her music director. So,
yeah.
Wow. Where do you live now,
played
Tom?
Played in 30 countries with her.
Oh, my goodness.
I live in Tacoma now.
Oh, good. So you're in the
Or as I call it, the coma.
The coma.
I see. I see. And Jean's up in Seattle, so she's going to be discussing this with you. That's great. I'm glad to hear that you're now relatively local. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, in the Northwest, and that bodes well for your coming in.
Close enough to drag them down for something like this, and I'm thrilled about that.
So are you still playing music, Tom?
Yeah, it's the only thing I've done since I left college in 1967. And, it's been my entire career, my whole life. Never been paid for anything else.
So what do you, I'd say that's a badge of honor. Yes. What do you, who do you play with in Tacoma? Other good musicians?
I came up to the Northwest thinking of, there are fine musicians up here, but the slump in the business end of the music world has hit this area hard. So it's really hard for people to live here like I did there as a full-time working musician.
Mm-hmm.
I've met some fine players, just no outlet for them. The audience has gone to electronic music visual media music, which is
we're going to have to bring them out.
Well, they can find out tonight.
Well, I was going to say, tonight's your first opportunity because Scott is playing with Tom and...
Tom, I've got a tremendous band put together. I've got Tom on drums. I have Jason Moore on percussion. Dale Turnbull, who plays with Alexa Wiley, who you're very well aware of. He's playing bass. And Mike Hughes, who is from Los Angeles, just moved up to Coos Bay. Terrific blues guitar player, just really, really
this
tasty.
This is fantastic. I didn't realize you.
I've got a five-piece band.
Fantastic.
So I'll be playing piano and screaming into the mic a bit. And it'll be fun, and it's for such a good cause.
Okay.
It's
I'm going to shift over to Mary and let her tell us a little bit about the concept of River Folk Homeless Coalition. And Scott, anybody can pitch in on this, but I figure Scott probably knows some about it. But
a little bit.
A little bit. So Mary, what is this? What's your concept here?
Our concept is to fill gaps. I work with the Warming Center. I volunteer there. I work with Corey Buck feeding the homeless people we started out down at a park here in Astoria. We've moved to the Armory.
Where does the food come from?
Private donations.
Oh, wow.
Every bit of funding that we have is from private donations.
Nice.
It's been amazing. Our community is incredible. So many people pull together to help these people.
So what you're thinking now is that there needs to be more collaboration
There needs to be more collaboration, exactly. We need to work together. We need to, just work together to make it a better fit for our community.
Yeah. And there's... There are so many good organizations around here who are trying to do good, and there's such a lot of need to fundraise and to spend a lot of time with the organizational part of things. And Mary has been out there actually, hands-on and coming up with things that need to actually be done. This whole thing came about, this whole benefit concert came about because I co-produced Winter Folk, which is a benefit for Sisters of the Road.
This year?
Yeah, I've been doing it for the last 4 years.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
I've gone
with
there.
Tom May, and it's a really wonderful thing. And Sisters of the Road is a wonderful organization.
Yes, it is.
And so Mary is, I don't want to put words in her mouth. She's right here. She can talk for herself, for God's sake.
Jump in there, Mary.
But it has inspired me. And she came to Winter Folk, and she said, well, this would be a great way to raise money for the homeless and so forth. So
I had gone to Winter Folk just before the concert. I'd met with Abigail Singer from Sisters of the Road. She gave us the tour, and with Hillary Levine and Nicole Adamschek. We went together. Mm-hmm. We were stoked. It was, you know, and we just knew that we wanted to do more.
Sisters of the Road has been going for quite a while.
Since the 70s.
Yeah, it's an amazing organization. I've actually, in addition to contributing finances, because I'm here, but I've actually gone and eaten there to experience it, right?
Yes.
And it's fabulous. It's you sit down with folks and you eat good food, and what better way is there to,
and
except for bringing in music. Yes, that would be the big addition. So.
Well, that, yeah, that's the beauty. That's the missing link here is there's, we have a temporary, you know, seasonal warming center thing, which is a wonderful, it's an amazing
thank
thing.
Thank you to
what Drew
Carol
has done with that
Church
and all of those things.
Drew.
It's great. But
Karen.
I think Mary and I and her three other co-founders of this thing, would love to see a drop-in center and a place to be able to provide resources to help get them on their feet, and as well as help them to learn skills, just like Sisters of the Road
right.
does.
So have you been communicating with people in the community from some of the organizations?
Yes, I feel that that's so important that, you know, working with the other organizations rather than working against them. We
well,
need
especially
to be
in a town this
in a
tiny.
Town this small. Yeah. It has to be a group effort, and everybody has to be on board. There are so many amazing people that I didn't know. Grace Episcopal Church and Carol at First United Methodist.
Methodist, right?
She is amazing. Yes. They have opened their doors
we
to
sent
us.
Blessings to them all for whatever reason they may take them. Mm-hmm. And if people want to learn more about the River Folk Homeless Coalition, is there somehow they can do that?
We're in the process. We have our website has been mainly just a quick, you know, a brief description, but mainly I think to schlep this thing tonight.
Right.
So in the next few weeks we'll be putting up a more of a website that actually has information. And
okay.
There is contact information on there. If you have any questions, you can email us.
Good. Okay. Well, let's get back to the concert then tonight, and Mary will be there, and Scott, and Tom, and Jean, and several more too.
Many more.
You have lots.
Barry Moranti and Jill Trenholm. You got Terry and Jerry Holder are going to be playing.
Right.
Have Richard Colombo, another great community
Artichoke
organization,
music.
Artichoke Music.
Yeah.
He'll be coming with Lori Lynn, who is just a sweetheart and a great singer. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
So for example, Jean, are you going to be playing solo or?
Yes, I will be playing solo tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I can hear
you, but there's no time for, Jean's got her tenor guitar right here. It's different from my tenor guitar, of course. For one thing, she can play it. No. And, but you're going to have to come tonight, folks, to this fabulous concert at the Performing Arts Center, 7 o'clock. That's 16th and Franklin. Come before 7 so you can get yourself a seat, and be prepared to enjoy the music, talk to the musicians, get Tom to decide to move here. Is that right, Tom? Oh, he's right here. He's just sort of smiling at me like, you're
only
right.
If I can learn to play quieter.
It may seem like a quiet town.
Well, there's lots. There are other things going on tonight, too, like the first inaugural Pride Gala is happening tonight at the Armory. And it's happening all day tomorrow. If you do it right, you might be able to double, triple dip, because that's what I plan to do. And I'm very excited to be at the PAC tonight for River Folk Benefit Concert, the first. And Scott's very good. He's got long tentacles for musicians, and he's a fabulous musician himself, and he's not bad on the web either. So I suspicion that we're going to have more things going on. So let's get out and support this, show our support for community. Basically, this is about
community.
Yeah, it's about making community and sharing the wealth that we all have in some way or another. So,
yeah, it really isn't about us rock stars. It isn't. It's not about me or Tom. Is it about it about you?
No,
you know, the thing
about
this stuff is, people volunteer and they put their hearts into it. And these kind of events, you talk about collaboration. It's gatherings like this that bring people from all over the community into a space for entertainment, but in the process they're talking and collaborating. And
right.
What do you think, and what can you do? And
right.
Let's get together next Tuesday, and these things explode, and
right.
that's hearts open. That's what the purpose of this is. Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing. It's
perfectly beautiful. Said. I'm going to leave that with Tom Mooney, our drummer for tonight, and thank you all for coming in. I'm very much looking forward to tonight's gathering.
So good to be with you again after all these years.
Hey,
you know,
it's
this
true.
Is great.
Well, I'm looking forward to lots more.
Yeah.
And
thank
you, Gene, you can pop in from Seattle and play live on the air anytime.
Oh, thank
Sorry
you so
I don't
much.
Have more time
no
today.
Worries at all. I got my dose with all my tenor guitar boys last night.
That's right. Oh, Lordy, Lord, did we have fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks
all
a lot, Carol.
Thanks,
Carol.
What you're Mary, for having your heart and soul putting it into helping the community. And I do have some music from Three Leg Torso. I hope that's who's in coming up on my machine right now. They're going to be playing tonight at the Coaster Theater. And then on June 22nd, Wednesday, they will be at the Liberty as part of the Astoria Music Festival. Next weekend is Scandinavian Festival. It's also the beginning. Saturday night is the beginning of the Astoria Music Festival. And you can get lots and lots of information online for most of these events. Thanks for being here, folks. Stay tuned. I've got one more exciting guest coming in. Three-Leg Torso being relatively calm. That's Akiko Yano, composed and arranged by Courtney Van Trail, the fabulous accordionist of the group. But don't be fooled. These guys are wild and wacko, and they are delicious fun. Those of you who have heard them before don't need to hear it from me, but They are one of my favorites. So, and tomorrow night is a favorite event for me and lots of people here in Astoria. It is Art Walk. Seaside and Gearhart Art Walk is on the first Saturday. Astoria, which is an older setup, is second Saturday, and it is tomorrow evening. And I have an artist with me who has been all over the world, but he's here now, living here in Ocean Park. Is that right?
Yes.
And you're committed to staying at this point?
Yes.
Okay. Mark Boone is my guest, and his show Pacific Portals, Arcane Image, is the name of the show, and the art is gorgeous and luscious. I have the catalog here in front of me, and I think it's a mix. You've done oil and watercolor for this show. Is that right?
Yes.
So I find myself, I happen to love watercolor, but I'm also finding myself totally drawn into these oils because you,
thank you.
Looks like you layer them on and your colors are, as I say, delicious. But then I look at this and I'm totally enchanted. So folks, you don't have it in front of you, but I'll give you a tip. You can go over to Imogen Gallery on the corner of 11th and Marine Drive. I'm not sure the whole show is up yet. The best thing to do is tomorrow evening, make sure you're in Astoria and visit many of the galleries, and don't miss Mark's show at Imogen. So you're, when I said that about, are you staying here, you're smiling because you know what I mean.
I love it here.
You love it here. Where are you from originally?
Eastern Washington.
Oh, okay. So that's not, I mean, you're Pacific Northwest.
Right. I went to undergraduate school in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, you did. Okay. Yeah. So you got closer to the coast.
And then graduate school in Maryland and Baltimore.
Yeah. So you, that's what I mean. You kind of flip back and forth. Did you spend any time in the Midwest?
Not really.
Okay.
New York and Baltimore.
Yeah.
Seattle and Portland and here.
I find that we bi-coastal people tend that way, so that's good. Your paintings, though, that are in this show are very specific. Well, it's called Pacific Portals, so obviously it is literally specific. But what kinds of work have you always done? Landscape?
Pretty much always. There was a time when I did totally abstract work, but for the most part, it's been influenced by the landscape.
Wherever you were.
Right.
So what took you to various places, and what takes you to art to begin with?
I always painted, but I remember the Seattle World's Fair. I was 12, and I had a sort of an epiphany looking at the paintings, and they were primarily abstract expressionist paintings.
When you were 12, you were attracted to the...
Yeah.
Interesting. And so what did you do? Did you have
I painted.
On your own, or was there a way to do it in school? Or
No, I grew up in a small town of Palouse, Washington.
Okay.
And so we didn't have art classes or anything. But I took, when I went away to college, I went to Eastern Washington first, and then I went to art school in Portland.
So did your family recognize that this was a passion of yours from that early an age and support you? Or did they say, yes, Mark, that's very nice, but you need to be able to get a job?
Sort of the latter.
Right. We were just talking about that with music, and it's the same with art so often. Yeah. But you have worked in the arts.
Pretty much always, yeah. I was a teacher, and I did... some restoration work, and I worked for ViArt in New York, and also moved art across the country for DAD Trucking.
Well, I like a quote, just a short quote, finding the magic of nature. And I'm wondering whether that's been with you all along as well, or is this regenerated now that you're here?
Well, I think I've always had that, but I very much am attracted to the ocean and the river. And so it sort of took over.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. I was visiting with Christos Koutsouras, who also shows at Imogen Gallery. He's on his way back to Europe tomorrow, so we grabbed him for during my folk show, and he also was talking about how the water, it's, you know, inside our soul.
It's a really beautiful place, and I'm really happy to have a show.
Mm-hmm. And, is this the first show that you're having in this area?
Really, I was in a group show, but I've shown in Portland and Seattle before.
Okay, because I noticed that in this gorgeous catalog, I don't know if how other people get to get it, but I was fortunate, and that Richard Speer, who's the contributing critic for Art News and Visual Arts Source and Art Pulse, that he wrote a whole piece on you. Why do you think he did that?
I think Terry asked him. And I think he liked the work.
I have a feeling, yeah, that Terry asking is nice, but I'm not sure that would be quite enough. It's it really captures, and I like the idea of talking about the thin places. I've heard it as veiled in the Celtic tradition. But when you mention exploring the thin line where earth meets sky, I'm wondering, I can see in your paintings, it's literal, but is it also metaphoric?
I think it's metaphorical
for you.
Yes.
Yeah. So what does it, what? I know you're a painter, so you don't use words all the time, but I'm pushing you here because I'm on the radio. I could hold the book up to the microphone, but it doesn't work quite as well.
No, I think it's just that sort of area between, you know, the air and water, and it's very hard to tell sometimes that even where the line is or if there's a line at all, you know. And so for that means to me a sort of spiritual, magical thing.
I agree. And you've definitely portrayed that beautifully here. Again, this, you know, some of them are absolutely, this one, which I'm loving, and that's the, it's called Sail, but it's, it really does blend, all of them kind of move from one area to another. How did you find Ocean Park? Did you have people here, or?
A good friend of mine lived in Long Beach. Okay. There's a place there in Portland, and so we came to visit him and liked it, and very happy there.
How long have you been here?
We purchased the place 6 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And we moved from Baltimore 2 years ago.
Oh, so, my goodness!
So that's now full time.
Yeah, and that's quite a move, also, but. But I'm very happy that you're here. I know you have shown at the Portland Art Museum. And when you were teaching, who were you teaching? What age?
College students.
So were they students who were serious about art or exploring the possibilities, or what was the...
Well, I taught at the Maryland Institute College of Art in Baltimore, as well as Washington State University in Pullman and University of Maryland. So a lot of the students were very serious.
So what did you think, what did you feel or think that you could give them, tell them specifically or inspire them specifically to? I'm an inhibited visual artist, I'll tell you that right off the bat. And I know Kristen up at the college always says, anyone can draw, anyone can paint, and I'm going, yeah, right. So,
well, I think you teach by example, and art history is very important, so I always showed a lot of slides, and, well, when they still had slides.
Right.
They're gone now.
Right.
But And I always shared my books and, and my time. I try to teach a lot, like my teacher, Louis Bunce, who I had at the old Museum Art School in Portland. He was very influential on me. And I liked his style of teaching.
How do you feel about teaching now?
Oh, I'm sort of glad I'm retired from teaching.
but you might... Well, don't go away after the show. We have a little talk to have. There's a wonderful group here called Encore.
I know.
And, I'm gonna try to rope you into it because I would love to take a class with you. I would love to just be able to look at your work in addition to at the gallery. So tomorrow evening, folks, the art walk is from 5 to 8. And Imogen Gallery, again, is on the corner of 11th and Marine Drive. And my guest, Mark Boone, has his works there in oil and watercolor. Do you have a preference for working in one or the other? No.
I like both.
You do, yeah. And you don't do acrylic.
I have, you but have. I don't.
It's anymore. Not your favorite. No. Okay. Pacific Portals, Arcane Image. What does that mean, arcane image? What does that mean
mystery.
To you? Mystery. There you go. Perfect. Magic and mystery. I love it. Oil and watercolor exploring the thin line where earth meets sky. And Mark lives in Ocean Park. That means he is a local resource. And come and meet him tomorrow evening and then find out more about his work. And also, while you're out and about, you can check out at Tempo Gallery, there are six local artists, Alexandra and Ed and Thron, Phyllis, Vicky, and Carol. It's a cooperative gallery. River Sea is featuring Carissa Brock, bamboo sculpture. The Old Time Framing has Don Nisbet from Ilwaco with local originals. AVA Air, A-I-R, that's Artist in Residence. There are three of them right now. And Rachel Jensen is at, together with David Pleckel, is at 80 11th Street. And Megan Hanur is at 1170 Commercial. Luminary is featuring Mary Gaffney and brother Richard Kunstig with Rock, Paper, Scissors. Forsythia has Zamula Fleming with her bead portraits. Astoria Art Loft is a different time. It's from 3 to 6 with Renee Rowe. And multimedia, and a place called Maiden Astoria, that's spelled M-A-I-D-E-N, very clever, is featuring photographer Nakira Lapointe. And also, at a different time, is Lightbox Photographic Gallery, which did a fabulous job on the working with the North Coast Chorale on the concert, The Armed Man. They are featuring their seventh Plastic Fantastic from 6 to 9 instead of 5 to 8. And the Cannon Beach Gallery, which is not in Astoria, hello, is the Landscape as Perception. Kind of goes with what you're talking about, from 6 to 8. And I'll tell you what else is going on, but first I will thank my guest, Mark Boone, and I look forward to seeing a lot more of you, Mark.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Congratulations on the show.
Thank you.
And tonight, by the way, of course, River Folk that we talked about, the inaugural Pride, Astoria Pride celebration tonight, 7 o'clock is the gala event at the Armory. Tomorrow, from 9 to 11, the AIDS Quilt, fabulous, will be at the Armory for viewing. At 2 o'clock, there's a river walk and bike ride, and it looks like it's stopped raining. That bodes well. At 6 o'clock, there's a hip-hop workshop at Astoria Arts and Movement Center, followed by a dance party. And there's also the art opening at Gala, which is The Coast is Queer. And it's for artists, queer and artists, but the work is for of all kinds. It's just the work they do. And tonight, the Maritime Bar and Grill is featuring at 9 o'clock is featuring Portland Comics, adult humor and political content. Sarah Peacock, 7 o'clock at Peninsula Senior Activity Center. Manzanita Farmers Market has the Nehalem All-Stars. And the Coaster, Three-Legged Torso. And it is Sandcastle Weekend, too, by the way. And Shanghai in Astoria, junior version, is opening tonight. 7, Saturday and Sunday at 2. It's for 2 weekends. Tomorrow night, Waikiki Beach, 7 o'clock, John Broderick and Jay Speakman, our fabulous Fisher Poets. And the Encore Dance Studio recitals at the Seaside Convention Center. The Sand Dune has Jenny Don't and the Spurs. And Friday, they'll be at the Adrift. Sou'wester is Barna Howard with Americana. Peninsula Arts Center is featuring our good friend Larry Morante. At 7 o'clock, he'll be in tonight's show as well. And Sunday, Astoria Sunday Market, Double J and the Boys. They are delightful. Redmond Hall in Skamakaway has Hank and Lloyd and Pete Davis and Beth Sheets at 2 o'clock. Fort George